This is No Cover, No Minimum Radio. I'm Steve Zwemke. His fans call him the Acoustic Ninja. Listening to his intricate arrangements is one thing, but seeing Trace Bundy play live can confound even the most accomplished music fans as to how one person can create so much with his hands and fingers. Bundy's introduction to the guitar was really quite innocent. As a youngster, Bundy and his brother bought their first guitar for $10 at a yard sale. They followed that purchase by buying guitar magazines with instructions to play some of their favorite heavy metal songs, like One by Metallica. Bundy is completely self-taught. He uses harmonics, looping, delays, multiple capos, and unique finger-tapping skills to deliver jaw-dropping performances. Bundy joined SDPB Radio's Carl Gerke on Dakota Midday and talked about learning to play the acoustic guitar.
I often wonder if I would have had like a really strict like training session type, lessons, if I would be more confined to a box. And where now, like, I never really knew, like, the correct way to play the guitar, in a sense, and so I started experimenting with all these different ways of playing it, like, as if it's a drum, with both hands up on the fretboard, like you mentioned earlier, and cutting these capos, these clamps up, and putting them on the different strings on the guitar, and, yeah.
When did you start developing that tapping style of guitar playing?
Well, one thing about me is I'm a really horrible singer. I've got a terrible voice, and I've always felt that way. And so as I like got really into guitar and realized it was a passion, like I was like, well, how can I ever have a career in music if I can't sing? And those are like the voices I was always hearing in my head. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep on trying to experiment, keep on pushing the box, and like, if I can't sing, I might as well get as good as possible on the guitar. And so I think a lot of the techniques I started experimenting with were kind of my way of maybe making up for, like, the fact that I'll probably never, like, sing very well.
Bundy stopped using a pick altogether when he realized he could play more complex music using all of his fingers. Bundy has released 6 CDs. His first, O Night Divine, was a Christmas CD that came out in 1999. Elephant King, released in May 2012, is Bundy's most recent project. It features an 11-song studio CD and an additional live DVD disc. Bundy was born in Austin, Minnesota. He now resides in Boulder, Colorado. He played at the Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City on February 21st, 2015, a presentation of Ginger Gray Entertainment. Trace Bundy begins tonight's No Cover, No Minimum Radio with Elephant King, and he describes the process of playing the song.
You guys, I'm so excited to be here. This is cool. As he was saying, this is actually my first time ever playing in South Dakota. And I don't know why it took me so long, so I'm sorry about that. But I'm thrilled to be here. I've got some fun songs planned for you. My goal is that we all walk out of here with a big smile on our faces, so that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to start with a song, it's called Elephant King, and this is the title track off of my latest album, which is called Elephant King. That's how title tracks work. Now, this song is one of my favorites to play because I'm going to work a lot of different techniques into it, okay? I love the acoustic guitar. I love that you can stretch it in so many different ways and create a lot of different sounds. So I'm going to, in this song, kind of use all my hands. I'm going to kind of pretend like it's a drum kit. I've got, like, the kick drum back here. I've got, like, the snare drum. A lot of these kind of, like, high notes up here. And then I'm going to kind of make it sound like a bell ringing sometimes using these harmonics. Kind of sounds like a bell, right? And then I'm gonna do a little kind of two-handed tapping stuff, like it's a kind of playing like a piano. This hand's gonna keep the chord progression going the whole song, which leaves this hand open to do these things. Now, I usually have to choose between, do I do drums over here, or do I do the piano stuff over here? And it's a hard choice. I did figure out one thing that's kind of cool. I figured out, though, if I'm doing this stuff up here, and I use this bone in my elbow, I can kind of play the kick drum back here at the same time, which is really cool. I thought it was really cool until I saw a video of it, and it looks absolutely ridiculous, you guys. okay? Because it's like a chicken wing dance going on, okay? And so I'm like, I'm not going to do the chicken wing anymore. But I decided, you know, tonight, it's a special occasion, you know. First time here, so I'm gonna do the chicken wing. If you see the chicken wing, you guys are welcome to make like barnyard animal noises or whatever you want to do that seems appropriate. So, hey, enough talking. Here's Elephant King. Goes like this. Thank you so much, you guys. All right. Cool. Hey, can I have you guys turn my monitor down just the slightest hair, guitar? Sounds awesome, though. Hey, I'm going to play you guys a song. I'm going to play you guys my take on one of the most overplayed classical songs on the planet, Pachelbel's Canon. And this is a pretty classic song. Really withstood the tests of time because it's a beautiful melody. Old Paco Bell did a good job with this one. He's kind of the original, like, one-hit wonder. You know, he, like, wrote this song, and I don't know. I think he's done other things, but this is his main one, and he's, like, just made a fortune off of it. He's still getting paid royalty checks, I think. The Paco Bell dynasty. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now. I've always loved the song, and I wanted to write a unique arrangement of it back in the day. And so I'm going to play it using that kind of two-handed style technique. The two-handed tapping is what they call it. I kind of think of it as like thinking of it as the guitar as a piano. And it goes like this. I'm going to make sure this one's a nice tune for you. Here's Paco Bell's canon. So much.
Yeah,
thanks. Oh man, that one's fun to play. Anyone happen to hear about the little ESPN thing I did a while back? Yeah? Nice. Cool. So I'll tell you guys what happened. This was kind of cool. I was contacted by ESPN Sports Center, And they said, you know, Trace, we like your music. We want you to be a part of a contest we're doing. And the contest was this, to write a unique arrangement of the classic ESPN Sports Center theme song. How does that go, someone? Come on, come on. Thank you. Yep. And so it's like six notes, I think, right? and I, like, they wanted me like do like my own take on it. I'm like, how do I change up six notes that are pretty classic? So I came up with a part, and I sent it to them, and they said, yeah, that sounds great. And so they did a kind of bracket style tournament, ESPN, of course. And first round, it was myself against a rock band. And people voted and stuff, and I ended up winning that round, which was cool. Second round, I ended up winning as well. And then I got to the third round, is myself and a really good piano player. And he had a really cool part. Ended up winning that round as well. And got down to the two of us left, and it was myself and this girl from South Korea. And she played this crazy harp-like instrument and really cool stuff. And after two solid days of voting, the ESPN called me up and said, congratulations, you won the whole thing. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And so and then they said, and now we need you to come to ESPN Sports Center in Connecticut. And 3 days later, so they flew me out there. And then I was like their house band for the whole day. And it was really cool because I'm up there on this little balcony. And you know, they're talking about like LeBron James and things. And this voice in my ear. They had this like earpiece stuck in my ear, and this guy would be like, "Okay, Trace." And I'm like, "What?" And they'd be like, "I need you to play for 35 seconds. Go!" And I'd be like, "Da-da-da-da." And then he'd be like talking to me, like, "Oh, that sounds good, man." And then I'd get to like the end part, I'd be like, "Bino-new!" And then it would like go to commercial break, and like they'd all start cheering, and they're like, "Get him on again!" And they got me on like 9 different times throughout the day playing. It was really cool. And so Hannah Storm was like the host or whatever, the sports caster, and she was really hilarious because I kept distracting her with my music. But I thought I'd share with you guys a little bit of what I played that day on TV. So it goes like this. Thank you. Oh, man. I found out that day that there were, like, some really famous people, like, that they're interviewing, like, they were there on air. I didn't know who they were. And, like, I watched it with a friend later, and he's like, you know, I'm like, yeah, this guy, he was pretty cool. We were, like, joking around backstage, and he's like, what? He's, like, won, like, 4 Super Bowls, man. He's, like, a legend. And I'm like, really? Oh. Okay, here's Bristlecone. It goes like this. Hey, nice job making it into the recording. That was pretty good, you guys. I'm going to play a song that uses some of my capos here. And so these capos, normally a capo will just kind of clamp on the guitar. The higher you go up, the higher pitch the song is. But what I've done is I've customized these and I've cut different holes in them. This black one here, I cut a big notch in it so that when I put it on the guitar and play behind it now. Normally you can't play behind the capo, and I'm gonna move the normal one to here. It's not really normal because it's, if you were to look close, it's a pink and silver camouflage color. So I don't know why they did that. If you happen to be in a place that's lots of silvers and pinks, you could camouflage your capo. I'm gonna move this little silver one. I'm gonna move it just to right here. There. And then the blue one looks really cool here. Okay, so this the song it's called Love Song. This is on my album called it's called Mistle Bell. And Love Song is it's kind of like one of my reminder songs. I have these little reminder songs that remind me of something. And for me, it's the song is a reminder to try to do what I do out of love and out of no other reason. I do love sharing my music with people. It's a passion of mine. I believe it's a gift that's been given to me, and I don't want to ever have it be done for the wrong reasons, which is really maybe easy to happen in the music industry, or you do this because you want to impress people or be famous or make a lot of money or something. And I was thinking over kind of my life and what's, and as I continue to play and grow older, like when I get to be like old man Bundy and like I can't, play anymore, like I don't want my legacy or especially not my identity to be, Trace the guitar guy. Does that make sense, But if I'm known at the end of it all as like simply as someone who loved well and loves the people around me well, and use my talents and my passions well, I think that's worth a lot more. And so this song is kind of my reminder that, like, I don't want to be known for guitar playing more than who I am as a person, I guess. So even if I play to the best of my abilities, if I don't have love, it's worth nothing. So here's Love Song. Goes like this. Thank you. That's just fun. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to play a song from my Adapt album. And Joe here, this was his one request for the night. And so I'm going to play it for you. This is kind of one of my first songs of writing in the kind of two-handed, up in this area, two-handed tapping stuff. And I'm sad to say it's a really scary song. It's about ninjas, okay? And so if anyone is afraid of ninjas, assassins of the night, you might want to leave for this one. I call it Dueling Ninjas. Yeah. And I named it that because as I was writing it, one of my friends told me, he said, hey Trace, this song kind of looks like two ninjas are fighting each other. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, this hand right here plays these. These kind of low bassy notes. So this hand might represent like the big strong ninja, like the kind of sumo wrestler style ninja. He's got his oversized nunchucks. And then this hand right here. Plays all these little high fast notes, so it represents maybe like the little tiny ninja. He's not as strong, but he's really quick on his feet, and he has his miniature throwing stars. Anyways, the two ninjas, they fight each other the entire song, and it's a really violent song. I do want to apologize to everyone here in Rapid City for the violence that's going to take place, but I worked it out, guys. I worked it out that at the end of the song, the two ninjas, they're actually going to become friends, and I've talked to them. They're gonna hug each other in a warm embrace over the neck of the guitar, kind of like makeup. And so if you guys see this happen, it's a really sweet moment. I want everyone to do one of these kind of long, dramatic, ahhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh I want you guys to try this out. One, two, three. Yeah, so anytime you see me do it, you really have to do it loud. Yeah. Okay, good. That was good. So, no, I want to tell you just like part two of the story, because this is so weird, but I played this at a show, and this little boy came up to me, and I don't remember, I think his name is Billy, and he kind of tugged me on my sleeve, and I looked down, like, yes, Billy, and he goes, Mr. Bundy, there's actually a third character in the Dueling Ninjas saga. And so I looked down at Jimmy and I say, who's the third character? And he, without even hesitating, looks up and he's like, it's the dancing monkey referee. And I don't know what Timmy is talking about. So I go, who's the dancing monkey referee? And he goes, well, Trace, the way you hold your guitar, your thumb sticks up over the neck of the guitar, and it dances up here on the neck of the guitar, and it looks just like a dancing monkey. And of course, it's the referee making sure he's playing by the two rules. And I look down at Johnny, and I'm like, does he really do that? I'm like, kind of, he's like, he's calling out my bad technique or something. I look down, and I'm like, does it really do this, Johnny? And he looks up, and he's like, afraid so. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I went back to my hotel room that night, and I pull up my guitar. I'm like, I want to see if Tommy is right. So I start playing, and I look down, and sure enough, my thumb is going crazy. Like, I don't know what it is. I try to poke it down, and it pops back up again. And it's really embarrassing. And so what's his name again? Bobby. Bobby. I think Bobby was right. So I'm going to kind of dedicate this to little Bobby, wherever he is. Now, part three of the story. I'm almost done, I promise. There's only six more parts. Part three. I must have told this story at a show because someone came up to me, a different kid. I don't know his name. And this time, this kid comes up and he goes, Trace, I have something for you. This is before the show. And he's like, are you going to play Dueling Ninjas? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I have something for you. And I reach out my hand. And he gives me this. And he just looks at me and he kind of nods. And I look, and sure enough, there's like a little hole in the bottom. And I'm like, no, no way. And he goes, dude, yes, you have to. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. He's like, afraid so, man. You have to. And so every once in a while, like for really, really special occasions and awesome audiences. Now, here's the thing. Don't just watch the monkey, okay? Like, it's really distracting, and like, I actually enjoy the song, and I can't help it. But so here's seriously, don't just try to. Here's Dueling Ninjas. It goes like this. Thanks, guys. Oh, man. Hey, let me play my favorite song to play. This really is, this time, my favorite song to play. And I'm going to use, I'm going to borrow a guitar from these guys. My grandpa passed away a couple years ago. He was 98 years old, which is pretty old. And he had quite the family. He had he had six great-great-grandchildren around when he passed. And they knew him. Like, to be able to say like they knew their great-great-grandfather, I didn't think that's possible. I barely knew one of my great-grandmas, but to know like your great-great-grandpa was really crazy. And when he passed, like, it was really sad because there's that sorrow of losing someone we loved, but we all gathered together in Minnesota and we had this big kind of memorial, and all these people came from everywhere, and then like they told stories, we laughed together, we shared about his life, and it was actually a joyful time in the midst of that sadness. So I think about my grandpa sometimes whenever I play this song. For you guys. Here's Joy and Sorrow. Thank you. Well, thank you guys for making my first trip to South Dakota a great first experience, and I hope that this is the first show of many. It's basically, if you guys keep coming to concerts, I'll keep coming back. So. I'm going to play a song, and it's kind of inspired from some of my travels. I've gotten to play in 26 countries now, which is fun. And everywhere I go, whether it's Africa or Asia or Europe, I get to meet different bands and be introduced to new kinds of music, and I'm inspired, and it's really cool. And so, do you guys like Irish music at all?
Yes.
Yeah? Cool. So I discovered this little Irish quartet, and I'm going to play one of their songs, and it's going to sound really cool in this room. They're called U2. Now, it's where the it's Where the Streets Have No Name. It's a classic now, and I've always loved this song growing up, and everything, the driving rhythm, the chord progression is cool, the lyrics are cool, the melody is cool, and I've always wanted to try to capture it on one little acoustic guitar, and so this is what I came up with. I'm going to use something called stereo delay. And remember, delay is that echo effect. What stereo delay means is that everything coming out of that speaker over there is going to sound a little bit different than out of this speaker. Over here, you're going to have kind of a normal speed echo, but over here, it's a little bit faster echo. And these two different echoes are going to interact with each other, and even depending on where you're seated, you'll get a little bit different taste for the song. But I tried it out earlier. It sounds really awesome in this room, so I'll show you what the stereo delay sounds like. It sounds like this. You're kind of bouncing around out there. So let's try this out, friends. It's been a great evening. Come say hi if you get a chance. Here's Where the Streets Have No Name. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Have an awesome night. Come say hi if you get a chance. We'll see you next time around. Thank you guys.
Trace Bundy on No Cover, No Minimum Radio, recorded February 21st, 2015 at the Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City. For more information, concert dates, and videos, go to TraceBundy.com and see his Facebook page. Thanks to Ginger Gray Entertainment. See their calendar of events at GingerGrayEntertainment.com. Thanks also to the Dahl Arts Center. For more information, log on to thedahl.org. This concert was recorded by Fire Station 7 Studios of Rapid City. You can listen to this concert again, and you can check out any of our past shows by going to sdpb.org. Click Listen, then Radio Programs. I'm Steve Zwemke. We'll be back next week with another No Cover, No Minimum Radio. Concerts from South Dakota for South Dakota. A presentation of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.